Hebrews chapter 9, please. Now, the writer is informing the Christians in Hebrews 9 of all the types and different things that was in the Old Testament and the law and in the sacrifices. And in verse 24 he says, "For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself now to appear in the presence of God for us believers. Nor yet that he should offer himself often as the high priest entereth into the holy place every year with blood of others. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now, once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and to unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation." And God will bless, for he always does bless, his own precious word. I want to speak to you tonight on the 27th verse and the 28th verse of Hebrews 9. I call it an awful appointment. Listen to what it says in verse 27. "And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation." An awful appointment. "And it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment." Now friends, that's an awful appointment. Once to die, after this the judgment. Death, the king of terrors and the terror of kings. And you know, Christians, I suppose, more than anyone else, are sometimes accused of being morbid. I used to have that said to me years ago by people, "You Christians are very morbid. You're always talking about death and about after you die. It's sort of way by and by in the sky, whenever you die, that you'll get it. It's sort of a morbid kind of a message." Now friends, tonight, there is nobody less morbid than me. I don't go about, friends, thinking about death all the time. To tell you the truth, there was a fellow who worked with me years ago, and we were standing in a store one day, and he says to me, "Oh well, even these old troubles," there had been a man shot dead not far from where we were working. He said, "After these old troubles, will that worry you? Sure, you would be ready to die tomorrow." He says, you wouldn't care you're dead tomorrow. I says, "Bully, your head's cut." He says, "I dead tomorrow." He says, "Bully, do you see if I went to the doctor tonight?" And he put his hand on my shoulders and says, "Even 6 weeks will do ye." He says, "Hey, Billy, 6 minutes would do me. I'll have to be carried out with a shock of it." He says, "Is that right?" I says, "That's right. I haven't got grace to die. I've got grace to live. Christians don't get grace to die till they're damned. They get grace to live. To live." Glory to God, friends, when I get saved, I got an appetite and a zest for life that I never possessed before. Heaven above was brighter blue, and earth around was sweeter green, and something lived in every hue that Christ's eyes had never seen. Oh friends, I know I'm ready for heaven, but I'm not homesick. I can tell you, I don't want to go until God calls me. I'll not throw myself in front of a bus or anything like that. I have a great capacity for living. You know, I know, friends, all the things that's waiting on me when I die. Praise the Lord, whenever I'm ready to go, and God gives me the grace, I'll go. But you know, I've heard people talking about death. I've heard them say, "Oh, I wouldn't care when I was dead." All right. You give them about 2 or 3 illnesses, they'll have about 17 doctors around them pumping them with all the things they can, and the moths over them and hover the chest in them, they get the heart going again. Oh, friends, look, we're born to live. We're off the earth. We're earthy. So we're not morbid. Christians are not morbid. But we're realists. We're realists. It's an appointment. It's an appointment you'll have to keep. It's something you're sure about.
It's something that's certain. It's something that's going to happen. And if the fear of it brings you to Christ, well then you can praise His name. My father, when he was in his 20s, got such a fear of dying. Imagine a young man in his 20s, you'd hardly believe that. Such a fear about dying because he knew he wasn't ready. He had such a fear about passing over. He said it seemed to possess him. It's all he could think about was dying. And he says one night in anguish, in agony of soul, he was lying on the sofa in the wee kitchen house in the Shankill, and he noticed the papers. There was used to be newspapers down in them days for carpets. They had no carpet, but they put newspapers down. And he says, I was lying on the sofa and I was in agony, and I just noticed in the newspaper a text. And the text said, it was actually, of all the things to be reading, it was actually the death notices. I says, Daddy, as if you weren't bad enough. Says, hey, the papers lying open at the death notices. He says, I know. But he says, I didn't notice the death notices. I just noticed this wee text. I am the resurrection and the life. He says, Evan, my heart began to bubble. My heart began to overflow. I was lying in the sofa so afraid of dying. And here was the verse that said, I am the resurrection and the life. He says, Evan, I got on my knees by the sofa. And I said, Lord Jesus Christ, I want you to save me now. I don't want to die and go to hell. I want you to save me. Let me tell you, it has lasted over 40 years. Yes, it has. And he'll be here on Sunday night, as large as life. And it has done him good. And the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. And sometimes, friends, it takes that to bring you to God. And God's able. God's able. Now, the first thing I can see here is a constant reminder. It's reminding you. It is appointed unto men once to die. It's a constant reminder. It's something to remind you that it's appointed unto men once to die. You ever think about the appointment that you'll keep? And keep it you will. God has a day marked out. A month. A year. That'll be your last. And you keep it. It's a constant reminder. But I can praise the Lord tonight. For the man or woman who's put their trust in Christ, there is no condemnation. No condemnation. You see, when we're born into this world, all of us are born with one word stamped on our foreheads. Guilty. Guilty before God. Guilty. Guilty because we're born in sin and shaped in iniquity. Guilty in the life of us. Guilty before God. But for every man or woman who comes to Christ, there's another stamp on our heads. Grace. By grace are ye saved through faith. And grace is stamped over the guilt. Praise God. But it doesn't end there. For once grace is stamped on your head, godliness should come after it. Godliness. And by the Spirit of God's help and power to live a godly life. Godliness. Friends, when we leave the scene of time, every one of us believers, when we have to die, and God will give us the grace to do it. When we need it, we'll receive it. And when we're going out, it'll not be guilt, and it'll not be grace, and it'll not be godliness, it'll be glory. We'll go out of the scene of time into the presence of God, it'll be glory. Oh, that will be glory for me when by His grace I shall look on His face. That will be glory. Glory for me. You know, I had a wee woman I used to visit her. Sylvia and I used to visit her. Called her Ma Christie. I'll never forget her. No dear in her 80s. You know this? She had you spellbound. We used to sit at her feet for hours and she'd have talked about the Lord and how the Lord took her into Canada and the prairies and about her being married and the rough life and all. And she remembered the early Indians. You know the Indians? We were all sitting at our feet, you know, with our eyes out. But she loved the Lord. She was mighty, mighty in the Spirit. But you know, like, the rest of us, she began to get feeble and she began to get downhill and she went to hospital. I says to Sylvia, we'll go up and see Ma Christie, we'll see how she's doing. Never forget walking into the ward, and now she was propped up with a big pillow, leaning on one elbow, seen her old frail arm. She's as weak as water.
sat down beside her. I says, well, Mummy, what about you? She says, I'm disappointed. I'm disappointed. I says, you're disappointed? I'm disappointed. She says, I thought for sure last night he was coming for me. I was really ready. I just almost could feel his touch. I thought last night. But sure, I'm still here. Oh, I hope he comes today. Because I want to be with him even. I've lived for him all my life and I long to see him. I left the ward and I looked back and there's old Ma Christie waving. Jesus came that night. Took Ma Christie home. But I can tell you this. She lived the life. And whenever it meant to cross over the other side, tonight, there's a constant reminder, it is appointed unto men once to die. But the second part of that verse 27 tells me this, not only a constant reminder, a continuous reality. Listen to it. It is appointed unto man once to die. After this, the judgment. Don't argue with the first part of the verse. But they'll all want to argue about the second part. Well, friends, there are no arguments. For after the constant reminder, there's a continuous reality. After this, the judgment. After this, the judgment. You see, friends, I've heard people talking. Ah, sure! Nobody knows about these things. Nobody's come back from the dead to tell us. You wouldn't know what happened after you died. You may be going to the ground like an old dog and through the door of me, and that's you finished. That's why Jesus Christ came to this planet, to tell you what happens after death. The Lord Jesus Christ and his ministry took the curtain away and had to see a man after he died. Yes. So don't you say nobody knows, friends, because God knows and God's informing you through this book. After this, the judgment. But you see, the smart aleck said, oh, there might be no heaven, no hell, no judgment. No, nothing like that. May just be all annihilation. May finish at the end. Well, what about it? What about it? Suppose there is no hell, no heaven, no judgment. I want to tell you tonight, I would still rather be a Christian. I would. Even if there was no heaven, even if there was no hell, even if there was no judgment, I would still rather be a Christian. Why? Because I've got a peace tonight that the world never gave me. I've got a happiness in my life and a hope in my death. Whether you think it's a false hope or not doesn't matter. It's a hope I possess. And so, friends, even there was no heaven and no hell, no judgment, I was still not a Christian. I have looked round at the worldly lives. I have lived an ungodly life. I've had my fill of it. My marriage was coming down round my ears. Friends, I've had my fill of it. When the man or woman on the street says to me, "Ask you know there's better life than behind the club," I say, "I've not even been there." They haven't been down my road yet, I've been down theirs. But friends, if God's right, and he is, and the Bible's right, and it is, what have you lost? You've lost your soul in hell forever. Continuous reality. After this, the judgment. And I've got one question for all of you. If there's no hell and no heaven, if there's nothing like that to worry about, you see, friends, you get into trouble when you preach the gospel sometimes. People say, oh, let people live and let live. That's what I say. There's no need for all this nonsense about getting saved. Just let people do the best they can and sure God will look favorably on them. I want to ask you this. If you can get to heaven, let me bring it narrower than that. If you can meet God now, after you die, and it'll all be well with your soul, without getting saved, why did he send his son? Why? Why did he send his son to die on the cross of Calvary? Why did he do it? The greatest verse in the whole Bible tells you, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Why? that whosoever would believe in him wouldn't perish. That's why. There's a load of warning in the greatest verse in the Bible. Did you ever think of it? Perish. Perish. And that's why, friends, there's a continuous reality. After this, the judgment. And thanks be to God tonight for the Lord Jesus Christ, who came into the world and said, look, do you want to be saved? Well, I'm the way. Do you want to be sure you're saved? Well, I'm the truth. And I'll tell you no lies. Do you want to be satisfied? Well, I'm the life. Glory to God, friends, we get life when we get Christ. The life is in his Son. An inward witness. Your spirit bearing witness with his spirit. That you're child of God. Satisfied. Complete in him. Praise God. Continuous reality. After this, the judgment. I say, you wouldn't think I'm looking at the papers. When's the last time you ever read a notice in the paper, gone to judgment? Eh? When's the last time you read in the paper, perished? You know the old fella who died? And she put his body up the stairs. Him and her foot a bit out. She couldn't even stand his corpse at the last. Threw it up the stairs. Of course, all the boys come tripping in, up and down the stairs, and they're all coming down. The wee boys beside his mummy. She says, it's powerful, isn't it? So we're all talking. What a great man he was, hey? Oh, say, we'll miss him, eh? Oh, he's like himself, too. Just remember him. I'll always remember him. What a decent creature he was. The woman gave her some nudge. She says, "Are we up and make sure that's your doll up there, will you?" There's more lies told at funerals than anywhere, isn't there? Eh? More lies told at funerals. You hear all the good points, isn't it? Well, he wasn't a bad man. He fed the pigeons. Always remember him feeding the pigeons. Yeah, that's it. They'll always get something nice to say about you. Be sure of that, man. And you can scorn all the newspapers. And you'll never see the real truth. But God doesn't read the newspapers. God just says, after this, the judgment. No matter what kind of a service you have, no matter what a man will stand up and read out of a book, no matter if he looks into the grave and say, the first person I'd expect to see in heaven is this man. After this, the judgment. The Lord Jesus Christ, who was love and life itself, he gathered all the people around him and he said, look, don't die in your sin. Don't die in your sin. For if you die in your sin, where I am, you'll never be. You in your sin tonight, you're still not saved. Well, after the constant reminder, there's a continuous reality. After this, the judgment. But let me get to this part, because I love this part, verse 28. It says, so Christ was once offered. Oh, I love that bit. Once offered to bear the sins of many. And that's the compassionate Redeemer. He was once offered. One sacrifice for sins forever. The man Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And when he came to this world, he was sent for sinners. Praise him. See you tonight. You don't give that for him. But he loves you. He loves you more than I love you. He loves you more than your mother loves you. He loves you more than your best friend loves you. God loves you. Even though you don't care about him, even though you've no thought about him, even though your life up to this moment has been lived for you, God loves you. There's never a day you rise up from your bed, go out into the street, go about your business, lie down at night, there's never a day that Christ has in his arms with you. Never a day. Compassionate Redeemer. Oh, how much Jesus must have loved me to bear my sin. With his body on the tree, sent for sinners, and sold for silver. And at a place called Calvary, with nails in his hands and feet and thorns in his brow, slain for sin. For your sin. Once offered for your sin and for mine. You see, friends, when you go through the Bible, you find out when he's coming down through the streets, those narrow streets and the dust all around him, and they're waving the palms. We're coming to Palm Sunday, aren't we? They're waving the palms. Hosanna! Blessed is him that comes in the name of the Lord. Who is it? He's our Messiah. He's our Messiah. They're going to crucify him, but he's our Messiah. He's our Messiah tonight. When he comes back for Israel, he'll be our Messiah. And although he's our Messiah, he's still the man, Christ Jesus. Never bondsmith. Like this man. But he's not only the Messiah and the man. The disciples called him Master. Master. And there was the Messiah and the man and the Master that took all my sin in his own body in the tree. But praise God, rose again from the dead. What for? To become my mediator. For there's a mediator tonight between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. He's my mediator. Speaks every day for me. Speaks every day for me. Holds me by his hand every day. All my failures, all my weaknesses, all my sins, all in his hand. Mediates for me every day. That's the compassionate Redeemer. The one who was the Messiah. The one who was the man, the one who was the master, and rose again from the dead to be a mediator. Friend, tonight on the throne of God, he's a majesty. And under him, and under his feet, are principalities and powers, and it's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords you have to deal with. What a compassionate Redeemer. You know, friends, it would be powerful enough, that he would love us the first time. You know, God so loved us. That would be tremendous, that God would send his son to die on a cross. That would be wonderful. But when he rose from the dead, you've got stubborn men and women, and their backs towards him, and they don't want it. Boys, what would you feel like, eh? Are you here, love? Let me try and give you a wee sleep. Supposing you've got a wee boy. He's a darling wee boy. He's the only wee boy you have. He's the only wee boy you have. There's nobody like him in the world. You think the sun rises on him. He's going to buy a house one day and it's on fire. He takes off a coat and he runs in. He rescues the babies out of him. He rescues the people. He's overcome by the fumes. He perishes in the house. He's carried out in your overall.
Give his life for him. He's given his life. He's given his life for you.
We didn't ask him. We didn't ask him to run in. What would you feel like? Multiply that a million, million times. Think about God. God that sending out the darling of his bosom. A body preparing for Christ. A body has thou prepared me. A body that's prepared by the Father. And that's possessed by the Spirit. And that's presented by Jesus Christ. Think of it. Think of that sacrifice. Think of the darkness from the sixth to the ninth hour when God made his son's soul an offering for sin. Think of it in this. Think of the compassionate Redeemer. Why did he do it all? Why was he there? I'll tell you why. Because he knew that you and I had sin in us as a principle and as practice. And the Bible says hell beneath is moved for thee to meet thee at thy coming. It's opened up its jaws. It knows your name. It's ready to receive ye. And that's why the compassionate Redeemer was sent to this planet to deliver you from death. Wonder tonight, friends, are you delivered from death? Compassionate Redeemer. And verse 28, I didn't want to leave it out because I think it's beautiful. Listen to it. It says in verse 28, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. Are you one of the many? Are you? Are you one of them, Annie? And unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time. I love it. Second time.
Coming back for us Christians. For those that are redeemed. And this is a coming revelation. It starts with this constant reminder. It goes on with a continuous reality. It introduces a compassionate Redeemer. It finishes with a common revelation. So Christ
shall come again. Oh. Why did he come to our hearts? I'll tell you. To give us a new nature. There are men and women in this meeting today, and in recent days, they've received a new nature. God's nature. God has put himself into their bodies. New nature. And because of a new nature, that makes them a new creature.
Anyone being said, they're a new creation. A new creature. But the blessed thing is this, that with that new nature that makes us a new creature, we've got a new future. We're going to look up when we see the world in turmoil, when we can see darkness all around us.
Thanks be to God, tonight I'm saved. I'm glad tonight I look to him for salvation. I'm glad. I'm glad I didn't only look to him. I'm glad I can lean on him. In weakness I can lean on him every day. Then. I'm glad I can learn from him. Take his yoke upon me and learn of him. I'm glad I can look to him. And cry, Abba Father. Are you looking for him the second time? Second time. If he comes a second time for me, it'll be too late for you to have him the first time. Because you'll perish. What a blessed hope we have. What a blessed hope. I wonder, this common revelation, does it mean anything to you? My, what separation there's going to be on that day. Husbands and wives separated. Mothers and fathers separated. Christ will burst the clouds and the whole Christian population will go. And I wouldn't be in this world for a king's ransom. Sure, it's hard enough for Christians to live in it as it is when they look around them. Doesn't your heart yearn? Doesn't somewhere in your heart say, even so come, Lord Jesus? When you see the world and you think about your wee children growing up in it, don't you say, Lord Jesus, how long? How long? A girl who's not long saved, we led her to the Lord some time ago. She held her wee baby in her arms. And I saw the tears in her eyes and she said to Sylvia, Sylvia, if I thought this child wouldn't get saved in a day to come, I would rather it would die in my arms just now. Wasn't that tremendous? For she says, I would know if it died in my arms just now, it would go to be with Jesus. But oh, to live a life on the planet without the Holy Ghost doesn't bear thinking about. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Say, Christian, you're glad you're saved. I am. I'm glad there's no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. I'm glad this awful appointment, I'll miss it. I'll miss this judgment. Christ has already been judged for me. What about you, friend? Maybe God has touched you in your heart. And you'll know it. God will make you sure you'll know it. Maybe that light within you is beginning to flicker. Maybe God has stirred you. Well, friend, just now in the quietness of these minutes while the Christians are praying, we want you to make our Redeemer yours.
we've been praying a prayer like this, and if you mean it in your heart, God will save you. Dear Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner, but you died for sinners and you died for me. And I'll turn my back on my sin and I'll trust you now as my Saviour and Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving my soul. And help me, Lord, to be the Christian you want me to be. For Jesus' sake. Amen. Going to sing a hymn. Closing. 317. 317. It asks a question. Only you can answer it. Where will you spend eternity? This question comes to you at me. Tell me, what shall your answer be? Where will you spend eternity? You know, a friend I worked with said to me once, it must be great to be going to live forever. I said to him, Hugh, you will live forever. Somewhere. But I says, I've got eternal life. And that's different. For Hugh, the place you'll go to if you don't be saved, you'll wish for death and not find it.